How's everyone? Welcome to the world of the walking wounded. It's good to be here. Whatever that little bug is going around, kind of seemed to have caught it too. And I appreciate I sent out a prayer request yesterday, and just Lord would maintain my voice. And good to be here, and I'm excited to be here, and I have a great announcement to make, but I'm going to save it to the end of my message. And if you're like me, your life is pretty busy, it doesn't really matter what's on the schedule. Life's just busy, amen. And as Tyler alluded, sometimes it's easy to lose sight of what's this season really all about. But one thing I do take note, I studied in a coffee shop yesterday morning. I was just going over this message and working on the next message. And if you're like me, you just stop. You do really notice there's a warmth in the air. There's a love in the air. There's good cheer, and I just believe it is the Spirit of the living God seeking, roaming throughout the earth, as the Scriptures tell us, and touching and transforming hearts. And that's really the message of the gospel. It's really the message of Christmas season. If you're like me, Christmas evolves. And I know as a kid, Jesus was the farthest thing from my mind. It was lock and load, presents, right? And we all like them. We all like getting them. And then I got married, grew up a little bit, and had some kids. And I thought, wow, this is really cool to have kids and see kids get all excited about Christmas, the joy and then, of course, now we're in the latter stages of the race. We have grandkids, and we actually had our Christmas last night with our kids because it's their turn to spend with the in-laws. And so we got them last night, and just watching my grandkids, my grandgirls in particular, open up the gift that we got them, and it was just the bomb, I have to say, that excitement and the shrills. But if you're like me too, and maybe you're not old enough yet, but Christmas evolves in a different way too, and that is really its meaning, right? The meaning of Christmas. And I hope today, with this great encounter, the angel Gabriel and Mary, that will really shed some light on the truth of what's really happening here and awaken us really to there's joy and there's wonder, but really the powerful truth of this passage. And just beginning with, I want you to imagine the scene. The angel went to her, Gabriel, and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, theologians are a consensus is that Mary was between the ages of 14 and 16 years old, which back then, people married quite young. And the scene was probably morning or mid-morning because the text tells us that after this happened, Mary quickly or hurriedly made preparation and took off for Elizabeth's house, which is no small thing. She was in Nazareth. Her cousin or relative was in Judea about 60 miles away, and it would have taken 8 days, and Mary wouldn't have traveled alone. It just wasn't wise for a woman to travel alone in that day. What we don't know is what she was busy with. Was she helping mom sweep the house, do the dishes, maybe the laundry? Maybe she was getting ready for a dog day, a day away with God. What we don't know is not really that important. What's really important is what the Scriptures tell us. And so here is this young virgin, Mary, pledged to be married to Joseph, which we know, and the angel of God visits her. Not just some figment of her imagination, but this bright appearing, this angelic being appears before her. And one of the interesting things is, you know, the word or the use of angels is found in both the Old and New Testament over 290 times. And we know that Scripture tells us that angels do a lot of the Lord's bidding. And in this case, Gabriel. What's interesting, there's only two angels that are ever named by name, Gabriel and Michael. Michael is mentioned in the books of Dan, Jude, and Revelation. He's known as the fighting angel or the rescuing angel. Psalm 34:7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." So we know that God has a host of angels that do a lot of his bidding in rescuing us. And we're told to always entertain strangers because we might actually be entertaining an angel. So we know that angels can have the appearance of humans. But in this case, we have Gabriel, known as the announcer or the revealer. And if you can imagine this scene, God is in his throne room, in his office, and he's about to unfold the final chapter in his great plan of redemption, and he summons Gabriel into his throne room and unfolds the plan. And he's sent to earth. And forever in time past in the history of man, the earth is going to be awoken to the final chapter. You know, I've seen a lot of baby announcements, and I know it seems to me, and it was a long time ago when I had my kids, but, you know, hey, we're expecting, and you might call your parents up or whatever, whatever. And today, I've just seen a lot. Kids are getting more and more clever with their announcements and how they do. And I was thinking about, I just communicate one, and one in particular was on Facebook, and I don't know, what do you call that, live streaming or live whatever when you, and so this family, and they've already got two kids, and they're going to, it's some friends I know up in Grand Forks, and they're going to announce the baby, and so the two little kids, one's holding a blue balloon, and one's holding a pink balloon. And of course, you know, the video, and then they let one of them go. And honestly, I don't remember which one went, the blue one or the pink one went up and the other one. And so I was thinking to myself, oh yeah, that's really clever. But I was left with a question like, well, okay, well, so what are you having? Is it the one ascending or is it the one you're holding on to? The bottom line is, there's a lot of clever, imaginative ways people today are expressing the good news of bringing forth a child into the world. But Gabriel, this was his job. He was the angel of good news. He always was the deliverer of good news. Can you imagine having that job, being the deliverer of good news? Hey, you're cancer free. You're going to meet the love of your life next week. You're going to get the most amazing promotion. You're going to have a baby. Can you imagine that's all you did in your life was travel around and just deliver good news? Can you imagine how fun that would be? What joy you would have experiencing that, sharing that good news. And that's what I want to look at this morning, is to examine the full extent of this great announcement, the greatest announcement, and the impact that it had then and the impact it has now. And there are so many correlations to what transpired with Mary, not only in the announcement, but the impregnation, the carrying forth, and the bringing forth of Jesus Christ that applies to our lives this morning. And so we begin in verse 28. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." So this great announcement was really the great calling of God to Mary. And it's important that we understand Mary's not divinity. As some religions would make her to be or out to be, she was highly favored. What does that mean? It simply means that God had chosen her for a purpose and a mission. Just like you and I, when we are chosen for a mission and a purpose, we are highly favored. Mary's no more favored than I am. Mary's no more favored than you are. And secondly, and probably more importantly, the angel said to her, "The Lord is with you." Isn't that interesting? Why would he say that? The Lord is with you. See, anyone called of God, the reality is anyone called of God, if you're not honest with yourself, there's always going to be the potential for fear and doubt and unbelief, anxiety. You know, am I really hearing from God? I don't know if I agree with God that this is the best plan. We're going to see a little bit of that exchange in a minute here with Mary. But it's important to remember that anyone who's called of God, not only are they highly favored, but the Lord is with us. Hebrews 13, quoting Jesus Christ, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you, so I can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" And we see immediately that Mary was, the scripture uses the word troubled, which is really a combination of fear and anxiety. Mary was troubled, and I just want to address that for a moment. Mary was troubled because what kind of a greeting could this possibly mean? She hasn't been given the plan yet, but the angel said to her, "Mary, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." You see, Mary was on a mission. Now, granted, it was a pretty cool mission. You're going to bring the Savior of the world into the world. Can you imagine that? But right there was fear. And we have to ask ourselves, where does that come from? Because this birth is going to tie all the way back to Genesis 3, we tie the fear. Whenever God calls us to step out, there's an obstacle of fear, and the person who brings that forth, it is not God, it is the enemy. It comes right out of the pit of hell. You see, after Adam and Eve fell, the destroyer and the deceiver, he convinced them to disobey God's word, the first thing that happened is they became fearful. They became fearful. You know, I love that song by Zach Williams, "Fear is a Liar." Anybody heard that? What a great song. Fear is a liar. Now, Mary's fears, we would soon learn, would be legitimate, because a virgin to be pregnant in that day could and would certainly mean stoning to death. That doesn't happen in this culture. Verse 31, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." The great announcement. You know what's interesting? Paul was just telling about his message from last week and what's in a name. Was that the title of it? What's in a name? What's in a name? Jesus. Well, you know what's interesting is that culture, the women didn't name the children. That was the man's job. Now, the angel, that same angel would tell Joseph sometime later, because when Joseph found out she was pregnant, he was fearful and, I'm not married. I'm not going forward with this plan. And Joseph was given the same plan. But Mary was told, "You will give him the name Jesus." Now, I don't know if that's because Joseph might cut and run and God saw that. And maybe Mary was going to be a single mother. But she was given the instruction, "You will give him the name Jesus." I think it also shows us just how significant the wife's role is in the home. Yeshua in the Hebrew, the Lord saves, God our Savior. And so now the picture is becoming more clear for Mary. The Son of the Most High God, Emmanuel, God with us, coming to earth, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, in the lowliest of states, in the lowest form of humility, as a baby. And just imagine, I know it's an exciting time for moms when they find out they're pregnant and they're going to have babies, and how exciting it is, and and how exciting it must have been for Mary. But, and we see that. What is, I'm a virgin. This is some pretty serious stuff. You think she might have been a little overwhelmed? How many parents are in the room? Parent. When you found out, truth or dare, when you found out you're going to be the parent for the first time, did you just knock it out of the park and say, yep, I've got it all done? Tyler, you were just telling me this morning some of the great anxieties as a parent. We all have them. Can you imagine, Mary? I'm bringing the Savior of the world. Oh, man. What am I going to teach him? What am I going to train him? How am I going to bring him up? Well, the lesson is simply this. God calls, God equips. Amen? God calls us, God equips. Thirdly, he will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. So here the angel Gabriel makes the spiritual connection or the link in the lineage of Abraham. Why Abraham? Because God promised through Abraham all nations, Abraham's seed, all nations would be blessed. And so it is imperative that the angel Gabriel, instructed from God, wanted, again, just another proof that he was fulfilling a covenant or a promise. The great favor, the divine favor of God is now cast upon men. This had never happened before. In fact, this is one of the things that troubled the Jewish establishment, that Jesus, when he became a man, proclaimed that he was the Son of God. And he bestowed sonship and daughtership upon anyone who believed in him. As John writes in 1:12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That was unheard of. That was unheard of. You don't become a child of God. You don't become a son of God. You have lineage and you go back and your tree and everything like that. Our lineage is now going to go back to the throne of God. You and I are now children of God, every bit as much as Jesus. We're not Jesus, but we are children of the Most High God. Mary was highly favored. Do you understand how highly favored you are today, this morning, because of this? Because of this announcement? Because Christ coming to earth? Because of, and that's the next point, the great redemption. The great redemption. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And probably the most important thing, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, the greatest king in the nation of Israel. There's another tie. So he is going to be the Son of God. He's going to be a king, a great king, and his kingdom will never end. The great redemption. 4,000 years, the nation of Israel has been waiting for a redemption plan by God. They have seen a foreshadowing for the last 4,000 years through the practices of the priesthood, Aaron's priesthood, and the temple and sacrifice. They've been given a taste of it, a foreshadowing of the great redemption of God. Now it's all coming to fulfillment. Everything that God promised in Genesis 3 is about to be fulfilled. And what did God say in Genesis 3 of Jesus and the enemy, Satan? He will crush your head. The great redemption, the final chapter in the great redemption. Matthew writes in chapter 1, verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from sins. Hallelujah. Jesus is the great redemption. Jesus is the great redemption for all of mankind. His kingdom will never end. Our lives will never end. We live for eternity. Paradise will be restored. You ever thought about, maybe you're too young to think about the body of sin that we wrestle with, whether it's a thought, bad thought about somebody, maybe a bad deed. You don't want to do it. Like Paul says, the very thing I don't want to do, I do. The very thing I do want to do, I don't. Oh, wretched man, who could save me from peril? You ever think about that body of sin? You ever get tired of it? Sometimes I just like, oh, God, why can't it be over? Hallelujah. The enemy's head has been crushed, and one day it will be completely restored. The body of sin will be gone forever. I look forward to that. Verse 35, and this is of critical importance. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Overshadow you. Just like the angel of the Lord overshadowed the nation of Israel thousands of years earlier when they were in bondage to Egypt. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. The Great Conception. Immaculate, which means flawless. Immaculate means flawless or perfect. So it can't be of man, but of God. And it was also incarnate. And that is simply, incarnate means to be made flesh. God had never done that before. God is about to clothe himself with humanity, with skin and bones and a heart and lungs. He's never done this before. There are many people today, and there are many religions today, in particular Islam, that want to deny the Immaculate Conception. If you deny, or if you take away the Immaculate Conception, you have no God. You have no Savior. And we are still stuck in our sins. Human meets divine. Jesus Christ is the culmination of humanity and divinity. Why he is called the Son of God and the Son of Man. He would embody every element of humanity. He would be like us. He would become one of us, but he would embody every element of divinity, of God himself. I love that song. Such a strange way to save the world. Such a strange way to save the world. If there is no Immaculate Conception, there is no deity. And there is no Trinity. And again, Luke points out here, three times he uses the word virgin here. Mary herself says, I'm a virgin. Mary would know, right? I mean, you know if you're a virgin. Mary would know that she was a virgin. And the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And again, the great imagery of God's angel of death overshadowing all who had the blood of the spotless Lamb of God over the doorframes and the doorposts. God's great deliverance. You see the imagery here of God's great deliverance. You see, if there is no Immaculate Conception, then there is no indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, Mary was highly favored. She got to carry Jesus in her womb. You and I, when we receive Christ as our Savior, we get to carry Him, the fullness of Him, in our hearts. The indwelling. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, He put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteed. He writes in Colossians chapter 2, that all the fullness of the Godhead lives in bodily form, and you've been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Do you understand what this means? The living God has taken up residency. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the living God has taken up residency in your heart. And He lives with all power and all authority over everything. Everything we face, everything that is to come. And we close with this great announcement. I just love, because you have to just imagine everything that's just transpired. The angel of the Lord has just come from heaven. And he's startled Mary with something, this is a little hard to believe. I'm going to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit of God? Okay. But the angel just spells it out. And look at her words. You young people, this would be a great reminder to us. God can use anybody. 14, maybe a 15-year-old girl, a virgin. I just love her answer. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Angel's gone. It's just like you and I. It's all faith, Mary, from here on out. It's all faith from here on out, Mary. Now, she gets to go. She eventually goes visit Elizabeth, and her womb and the baby in Elizabeth's womb jumps, and they have a moment there. But the greatest announcement is the great news. The culmination of the great call, the great announcement, the great favor, the great conception, the great redemption is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is. And that's what Christmas is all about. The gospel of Jesus Christ, God's final plan of redemption for all of humanity. As Mary got to carry and proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and it was good news, so you and I are highly favored to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. This is my great announcement this morning. I told you I had a great announcement at the end of this message. But this great announcement is also your great announcement. It's your great announcement. In fact, it's the greatest announcement. To announce the coming of Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas represents. Emmanuel, God with us. Yeshua, God saves us. The Word of God has come to you and I this morning every bit as much as the angel Lord came to Mary that morning. I asked you at the start of my message, imagine if you could only deliver good news like Gabriel. Imagine if that was your whole life. What would that be like? You and I have the greatest news. We have the greatest announcement the world is and will ever know. That is the birth of Jesus Christ. You and I have the opportunity to deliver good news everywhere we live and dwell. We've seen Mary's response. Is it your response? What will be your response? Let's pray. Lord, it's Christmas. In Latin, Christ among us, Emmanuel. You clothed yourself in humanity. You sent your Son into the world, a dark and fallen world full of sin, and the heart ever pining, longing. We're wise men then, they're wise men now, looking and waiting the return of Jesus Christ. Father, this is Christmas, that You loved us so much that You would send Your Son into the world, that He would become the sin of the world. He was born to die. He was born to save us from our sins, and we thank You. And through all of the busyness and through all of the lights and all of the presents and all of the food and all of the gatherings and all of the fellowship, in all of it, Father, may we be intentional even just for this moment in time, maybe the next hour, the next day, surely on the 25th of December, we see through all of it and past all of it, and we see Jesus lying in a lowly state in a manger. He came to save us. That's great news. It's great news that we can deliver every day of the week. God help us. In Jesus' name, amen.